with you this morning and to worship the Lord together with our brothers and sisters. Interesting days, aren't they? And it's kind of sad that there's fear all over the world. Fear all over the world. Our leaders are quite fearful. They don't know what's coming next. But on a humorous side, I saw an email. Someone was going to host a very, very special COVID-19 party at their home. And they weren't going to invite anybody. So I don't know whether that makes you smile, but that's the day we're in. We have to watch ourselves. And even this morning in the rain, my wife and I took a 1-hour walk. It was nice to hear the birds sing, but as you come near people, you keep your distance too. You can at least greet them. This morning, we're looking at a passage from the book of Colossians. It's Colossians 3:22, verses right through to chapter 4, verse 1. And we're going to be looking at biblical principles for the workplace. And it's interesting that God, through his Holy Spirit, chose a businessman to write these words. Paul was a businessman. He was a manufacturer of tents. And I don't know how he bargained with people, or I don't know how many employees he had from time to time, but he was a tent maker, and that's how he made his living. As we come to the passage, before I read the passage, as we look back in the early stages of chapter 3, I'd just like to read 4 of the verses which set the tone for the passage that we're going to focus on. In verse 1, Paul reminds us that we are raised up with Christ. So he's speaking to believers. He's speaking to us, our brothers and sisters. And he says we should seek the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And then in verse 12, he reminds us that we're chosen ones, and as chosen ones, we're to be living holy lives, having compassionate hearts, being kind, having humility, meekness, and patience. And then in verse 16, he reminds us that we need to be in the Word. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then also in verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So as we come to the passage of focus this morning, I'd like to just read it. I'm reading from the ESV version. Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there's no partiality. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Let us just pray and ask God to guide our thoughts. Lord, thank you for what you've been teaching me as I've looked at this passage. And I just ask that your Holy Spirit would have complete control of this time. Speak to our hearts. Teach us what we need to know. And Lord, where we need to improve in our lives, guide us in that area as well. We ask all of this, thanking you again for your word and for your kindness in giving this to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we look at verse 22, there's two words I think we need to deal with, first of all. It says slaves, and it also talks about masters. The word slaves, there were slaves in Paul's day. In fact, he had a buddy by the name of Onesimus. He was a slave, and he was a runaway slave, and Onesimus had a great ministry in Paul's life and vice versa. And then Paul finally encouraged him to go back to his slave owner, Philemon, but he encouraged Philemon to treat Onesimus more like a brother in Christ. So the word douloi in the original, it does mean slave, but it also means to be occupied in the service of, or to be an employee. So we can translate that, or in today's day, being an employee, working for somebody. And then there's the other word, master. And the word master here does mean Lord, but it also has the nuance that it is someone that employs somebody or that hires somebody to do a job. And so in our context today, we're going to look at this as employee-employer relationships and how an employee should behave and how an employer should behave. Right off the bat, it says, slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. As an employee, we are to carry out what the corporation or what the boss has hired us for. And we're to carry it out in a way that we have a good heart. We do it responsibly. We do it diligently. And we should do it with excellence. That's our Christian responsibility. However, there's a bit of a caveat here, because there's a caution at the end of verse 22. There's those three words, fearing the Lord, fearing the Lord. And we need to realize that, yes, if the boss says jump, yeah, we should jump. We need to be obedient as employees to the corporation or to those that are hiring us. But when we're asked to do something that's not ethical, if we're asked to do something wrong, then there's that obey only goes so far, because we have to remember at the end of that verse, it says fearing the Lord. He's the one that we're first of all responsible to. He's the one that we're first of all responsible to. Not to the corporation, not to the boss. Yes, we obey to a point, but if we're asked to do something wrong, we're answerable to the Lord first. And we have to do what's right in His sight. One of the things that I encourage those that get into politics, I say, look, some of them wrestle with, do I do what my constituents want, or do I do what my party wants? Sometimes those are two different things. And I say, well, you know, Romans 13 says you don't get into authority unless God allows you to. So He's the one that puts you there. So when it comes down to it, if the Lord is asking the politician to do something that is contrary to his party or her constituents, he needs to be faithful, first of all, to the one who put him there. And that's the Lord. That word, fearing the Lord, reverence of the Lord. That's where we get our word phobia from. It's a strong word, so fearing the Lord. So, yes, we're to obey, but always with the mindset that we are obeying in a way that pleases the Lord. And then it talks about, it says, we are to obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service, as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart. We are to be sincerity of heart. We're to be diligent in carrying out our responsibilities as employees. And this eye service word, and that's a word from which we get ophthalmologist. That's the name for our eye doctors. But the passage here is saying, work hard, be diligent, do things with excellence. Don't just do things to please the boss. Don't just do things only when he's watching and then do something else when he's not watching. You're not there to just be an eye pleaser. But in our service, when the boss isn't watching, are we still faithful? Is the corporation, if nobody's watching, are we still carrying out our duties as Christ-like followers? And then it says also, we're not to be there just for to be men pleasers. And that word, it's interesting. The word in the original means trying to please men at the sacrifice of principle. That's a strong word. We're not to be men pleasers. Again, that key, those last three words of verse 22 is fearing the Lord, reverence the Lord. And then in verse 23, it says, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men. Kind of a repetition of where it says we should be working with sincerity of heart, work heartily. And again, pounding home this idea of as employees, serving, carrying out our duties in a way that our heart is in it, that we're trying to do the best job we can do to please the Lord. And when we think of pleasing the Lord, years ago, I was at a conference and I heard for the first time a man by the name of Ron Dunn. Ron has gone to be with the Lord. Ron was a pastor in Texas. And I still remember he came before us. There were about 150 to 200 of us in the audience. And as he started out his message, he wanted to pound home that God is the audience. And so he said, here we are this morning. It was a morning session. I'm the speaker. And you're the audience. And then he stopped. He said, if that's what you think's going on here, you've got it all wrong. He said, this morning, but God is the audience. And you folks out there are just eavesdropping. That's a strong point, but there was truth in it. God is our audience. So when it says, whatever you do your work, do it heartily, as for the Lord, not for men. We're to be Lord pleasers, because he is the audience. Now, verses 24 and 25, one has, there's rewards, the other one, there's a caution. And both these verses are for employees and for employers. It says in verse 24 that if we're doing what's right, the Lord, it says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. There's reward. If we do our duties properly, if we do our ways and if we do our service, our manual labor, our occupations in a way to please the Lord, it says we're going to be rewarded. And if the employers are treating the employees in a proper way, they too, according to my understanding of this passage, is they're going to be rewarded. But when you come to verse 25, when it says the wrongdoer will be paid back. If I, as an employee, cheat on the time that I put in, try to cut corners, the Lord kind of indicates there's payback on that. He's not pleased because he's watching me. He watches every moment. And he wants me to be serving in a proper way. But it's the same for the master or for the employer or for the corporation. If they're mistreating their employees, there's payback there as well. there's payback as well. And it's interesting in the corporations that I've visited over the years to see how some employees are so well treated, and then others, they're just the corporation or whatever, they couldn't really care about their well-being. I remember one instance where I was with a corporate leader. He had a mining company, and a very large mining company. And I was with him, visiting with him, and one of his foremen had taken ill, and his foreman needed to be given a ride to a place where he could be cared for. And I still remember going with the boss and the employee in the car, taking this worker to a place where they had needed help. And when they got out of the car, I still remember, it's one of those moments I stuck with me for the years. The owner of the company, he got out of the car, went into the trunk, and he picked up the suitcase, and he carried that employee's suitcase to where that employee needed to go to get his help. The employer was there to serve his employee. And that is, again, the attitude that the employer should have. And we get to that more in verse 1 of chapter 4. It says, "Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you have a master in heaven." If we're an employee or employer, God's watching us, isn't he? Employees or employers, corporations should be treating the employees justly. And then fairly. That word fairly, fairness, but there's also other meaning in that word. It means to treat with equality. To treat with equality. So the employer needs to view the employee as their equal. That's basically what it's saying. To treat them as their equal. An old friend of mine who's gone to be with the Lord, his name is Ross Gorman. Ross came to Canada from Europe, had a young family, moved to the Okanagan, and had an orchard. Well, things were going pretty good until one early spring, there was a frost that wiped out his orchard. So he's got a young family, and now he's got, how is he going to support them? So Ross, to support his family, decided to make wooden fruit boxes. And when I was a young man, I still remember apples coming in from British Columbia to Alberta in wooden boxes. I don't know whether Ross had made some of those, but he did that to start to support his family. But making those fruit boxes, things grew. And when I got to know Ross, he was a lumber baron. He had three significant lumber mills, two in British Columbia, one in the States, I think it was in Idaho. High tech. If ever you get a chance to go through the Gorman Brothers sawmill out in the Okanagan, if they give you a tour, it's worth going through to see the big logs brought in and the high tech and the computerized way that they make their lumber. It was holiday. It was a holiday. The plant was to be closed, and the employees and Ross were to have a good holiday. But Ross is awakened in the morning. There's a noise, and it's coming from the lumber mill. And he's wondering, what on earth's going on? So he gets dressed and he runs over to the lumber mill, and it is going full tilt. So he calls his foreman together and he says, look, guys, this is a holiday. You know, we're supposed to be shut down. And they said, yeah. Ross, we are honored and you treat us so well. Today is our gift to you. We're working for free because we appreciate you. And Ross is gone. His son-in-law now leads, is the head person there. But if ever you get a chance to be at that lumber mill, if you drive south of Kelowna about 10 miles on the road to Penticton, you'll see a big lumber mill, piles of lumber. If you have time, stop in. The culture of the Christian culture. Ross treated his employees as equals. And you see the way those employees treat their employers. It's a neat blessing. Well, as we've looked at these passages, these verses, Colossians 3:22 verse to chapter 4 verse 1, I would like to conclude with just two quick thoughts. God is our audience, and whether we're an employee or an employer, our number one responsibility is to Him. He is watching. He does care. And He is concerned about our behavior, whether we are the employer or the employee. And I think as verse 23 says, and again, we need to be reminded of it, not just now, but over and over. Whatever you do, or whatever I do, work heartily. Work heartily, as for the Lord, and not for men. I'd like to close with some prayer. Father, first of all, forgive us where we have failed as employees or employers. And thank you for your forgiveness. And Father, may we remember that whether we're a garbage collector or whether we're working in a high-tech firm or whatever, our number one job is to be pleasing you as we carry out our earthly duties. I also do pray today for our leaders. I do ask that as many of them are afraid and don't know what to do next, I do ask that you'd use this hour to draw our leaders close to you. May they seek your wisdom. And may they remember too that you're watching. May they come to that realization, and that they would lead our nations in a way that would please you. We also pray for those on the front lines fighting this virus. Lord, meet their needs. Protect them, shield them, encourage them. For the families that have lost loved ones, Lord, bring comfort to them. Guide them in their decisions. And Lord, we also just ask that our people of Canada would stop being a nation of fear right now, for that is not of you. You want us to proceed in love and in encouragement. And so, Lord, you are the God of hope, and I do pray that we would see hope in our land in the near future. We ask in Jesus' name. I should just add in closing is that an idea came up. Actually, one of our ministry partners sent an email to us and said, you know, it'd be neat if there was a national day of prayer. And I passed that on to one of our brothers that serves as a member of parliament. God has really used him, And we chatted a little bit on the phone, and he had some ideas. And yesterday, I don't know whether you were on the app or got the message, but a number of our godly members of parliament, they're not the majority, but there's some wonderful godly people serving as members of parliament and in the Senate. And we need to be thankful for them. But some of them together called the nation together to pray. There was a Zoom conference. Only 5,000 could get in on it. But there was a day of national prayer for our nation, that asking wisdom for dealing with this virus situation, but also asking that we would be repentant of our sin, because we are a sinful nation, and that there would be a harvest and a drawing close to God. Thank you again for the privilege to fellowship with you this morning. God bless you, and thank you.